Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Wonderful, people. Yeah, it's always great to come back here. And it's January and it's kind of hang loose. We're not uptight yet, and we're praying we won't get uptight for at least until February. And it is a wonderful, wonderful time of year to actually set out into the future and say, hey, let's make a difference this year. And sometimes people set up ridiculous resolutions that are impossible to keep, but at least make some fresh decisions, especially about the baggage thing that I just mentioned. There are some things to let go of. You know, if you've got that hoarding spirit on you, I cast it off in the name of Jesus. Because we all keep things. And you guys don't think it's only women who do. You've got chainsaws in your garage that belong in the museum. You've got tools that you think you're going to use one day. And you've got your skinny wardrobe that one day you're going to fit those clothes and you never do. You're hoarding up the shoes that you never use. But to throw them out, it can be challenging. Because there's all sorts of attachments. And then there's the Scottish attachment. I paid money for that. God bless the Scots. Amen. There's that, I paid money for that. How can I just throw it away? And then that mindset is terrible because it makes you eat all the food on your plate. Because there are people dying somewhere, you know, and your mother told you, you got to eat it all because they're... And it's like, there's all these little things that you should be able to offload. There's a male ego thing. I don't know if any of you guys out there have it. I have this. It has to do with efficiency. So Chris will say, I've been to the grocery store, you know, can you bring up the bag? So I go down and there's like 7 bags. So I'm only going to do it in one trip. Just one trip, baby, you know, like... Yeah. And you kind of got your little finger around a toilet bundle of, you know, toilet rolls, 8 rolls, and you're trying to carry it, and you get to the door, and you can't open the door. So you're going like... And then because you're overloaded, you drop the bag, and it's the one with the eggs in it. And it's like one of the reasons I needed to... say, you know, we're going to transition from to Pastor Al and Jessen, who are doing a legendary job, right? Doing absolutely magnificently. Way better than that previous guy. But, you know, I'm so thankful for them picking it up. But I found that the movement was growing. The school was growing. My engagements with other things around the world were growing, and our church here was growing. You can't just keep adding without letting something go. You can't just take things on without actually letting things go. And there came a point where I thought, there's no way I can actually keep all this. So one thing is going, it's such an agonizingly hard choice because you love everybody, you love everything that you're doing, and you've got bonds and you've got this... these length of relationships. And so for all of us, we're going to face those moments where you got to actually have a necessary ending. And I think Mr. Cloud has a book on that, which I've read, which is very good, Necessary Endings, and then Happy Beginnings. And you're going to be way better on with your new beginning unencumbered with a lot of other things. And it's just one of those challenging things that some of us, to let go of last year, can be difficult. As Chris was saying, I travel with carry-on only and went for 3 months of a year. That's a, you know, a little bag this big. So if you get anything new, you got to throw out what you're replacing. You can't just keep adding and adding and pushing the bag down. So if I get a new pair of jeans in a airport store. I put them on. I take the old pair and throw them in the bin on the way out. And there's something in you that just doesn't want to. You think, maybe I will use those one day. But you just got to get over all that and say, okay. And for some, this is the one of the most challenging things is when relationships, you know, relationships need to just be in the past. We love them. We stay in good heart about it all. But it can be hard to just keep on moving on. And pastoring is like that. Leading a movement is like that because things change and people move. And to be able to move on with a good heart and not to be infected by what happened last year or the year before that, and just say, you know what, I can't just tangle myself up there. I got to keep moving and be free to embrace the future. Because if I'm holding on to the past, my hands can't grip my future. And if I'm preoccupied with my past, I'm not going to be able to appropriate my future. And God has got a brilliant future this year for you individually and for this church. 25, you're alive, baby. Amen. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not grow weary in well while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This scripture is quickened to me as a leader of our movement and as I'm preaching in many churches. I feel like the church all around the world, but especially C3, and especially here, C3SYD, this is a year of reaping for you, a year of increase and expansion and enlargement like has never happened before. All the trials and all the pain and all the things that you've gone through are getting you ready for a higher level anointing, a higher level of harvest, a higher level of reaping, and all of you are going to find yourselves entering into a season of reaping a harvest. You cannot keep praying without something happening. You cannot keep giving without eventually a harvest coming in. You cannot keep serving without eventually reaping a massive harvest of the Holy Ghost, bringing in people from all around this city into these seats, from the left to the right to the back, will be filled with people seeking God. In Jesus' name, there is a due season for every one of us. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. So that means there are seasons when you're not reaping, but that doesn't mean your life is going to stay like that. There's seasons where you are preparing. When in winter, you're repairing, like on a farm, it's organized around the seasons. You're repairing fences, removing rocks. You're doing all kinds of things to get the farm ready for spring when you're sowing and plowing up and you're getting ready. And then summer comes. It's inevitable. A season of harvesting is coming on the church all around the world, people. Millions of people in the Middle East are receiving Jesus right now in dreams. It is said in China is the largest church population, Christian population in the world right now. There are churches of 2 million people in China. The most unexpected places that you can think of, there is massive revivals in Brazil and in South America. And we are seeing growth in so many of these churches. I'm going to speak at a guy's church in South America. He has 150,000 people in his church, and he's from Adelaide, for goodness sake. He just went down there and started a connect group, and look what happened. Watch out. Amen. The fact is, we are living in days when the church is growing. It's not declining. I'm telling you, you don't have to believe every publication that you read, especially when it's even Christian publications that are saying, oh, the church is in trouble. It's in decline. People are not going to church anymore. This is happening. Let's not believe that. Let's switch on our faith and start to believe the word of God that says in the latter days, people will stream like rivers to the house of God to hear the word of the Lord. You and I are in that time when we can actually be a doubter, be a cynic, or we can start to believe. I'm telling you, it's easy in a social media negative world to become one of those negative people who are just believing and looking for all the scandals and all the negativity, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine being in the little village of Nazareth and a young 15-year-old girl has got a boyfriend called Joseph and she gets pregnant. There's only one conclusion. There's only one way that happens. What are you going to be saying on social media? What crowd would you be with? Oh, it'd be a tiny little village, a lot of gossip. And then Joseph says, I'll marry her. Well, that's just this cover-up job, Joe. Nice try. And they put him down as a bad man. But they couldn't see behind the scenes that he was actually one of the most righteous men you could ever meet. He was covering this little girl because only the two of them knew what God had done in that life. And he only knew because God spoke to him, but not to all the village. They're walking down the aisle and all the whispers. All through his life, Jesus would have been thought of, oh, yeah, we know. You got married out of wedlock. You got born out of wedlock. Ah, Joe, you know, he's that Joseph father of yours. Always a cocked eyebrow. But in, before heaven's gates, before heaven's throne, you and I will see a different story about so many things that people have reached the wrong conclusions about. Let's not be gossips. Let's be gracious. Let's be people who don't slander, but let's be people who lift up and build up. There are things we don't understand about 1,001 different situations. Let's be the believers, the people who build up and not tear down. Jesus says, I will build my church. If you're building, you're working with Jesus. If you're tearing down, you're working with the other guy. And here he says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. So that's telling me that, you know, there's a danger of me not reaping my harvest. Oh, that puts the fear of God in me. I've got a harvest. I've got a field that I've sown into. But he's saying, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. That means if I faint, if I give up, if I let go the dream, if I stop walking, if I sit down and I say, I quit, I won't reap the harvest that is there before me. It's not like I'm going to sit in my house and a harvest is going to come through the door. Woo, I'm reaping my harvest. It means I got to go do something. I got to step into appropriating all these promises of God. And I'm telling you, a harvest is on the way for the church. I'm telling you prophetically. I'm prophesying. And I'm telling you by the power of the Holy Spirit, a harvest is on its way. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss out on all that God is bringing to this world and to the church and to your own personal life. By thinking, you know what? I'm just getting a little tired of church. And oh, here we go again. Another positive faith building. Yeah. Heard it before. Yeah. If you are that person, turn around. Get born again. Get born again and let faith rise in your spirit. We live in a cynical world, sarcastic world, meistic world, self-oriented world, missing out on all the blessings that God could actually pour out on our lives. So when we give up, we miss what we could have achieved. Remember Edmund Hillary, 1953, conquered Mount Everest, never been done before. But I don't know if you realize that the year before he tried and he failed. He had to go back down. At the bottom of the mountain, he said, looked at the Mount Everest and he said, hey, next year I'm coming back. And you're not getting any bigger, but I am. You might have failed last year, but you're bigger this year, people. You're bigger than you were last year when you had a trial and you got messed up by it and you felt like you were defeated and disappointed. You're bigger this year because of that. You don't have to stay down. Abraham Lincoln, he bought a general store in 1832. He's just a woodsman out of a very poor area in America. But his partner died after he bought the store and he was left to pay off the store's debts for 17 years. He decided as a lawyer, he'd like to run in politics. So he ran for the Illinois State Legislature in 1832 and he lost. His fiancée, Ann Rutledge, died in 1835. Kind of discouraging. He ran for the U.S. Senate twice and lost. He ran twice for the U.S. House of Representatives and lost before being elected in 1846 to the House of Reps. So he then had a go at the vice presidency in 1856, but he lost then too. And in 1960, finally, he kept going. he was elected as the president of the USA. Changed the course of history. United a divided nation. Brought the abolition of slavery. And goes down in history as one of the greatest leaders of all time. But he lost a lot more times than he won. He failed many, many more times than he succeeded. And the fact is, you and I might have lost, but we can't let it kill our heart. We can't let it destroy our faith, because that's what faith is. It gets up again. Glenn Cunningham, who set the world's 1 mile record in 1934, he was burnt so severely as a child that the doctor said he'll never walk again. He was getting around on a wheelchair, and that was it, crawling and on a wheelchair. But he decided he'd strap himself to the plow behind oxen and just drag his feet along in the dirt until he could finally stumble along, and he started walking. And then his legs got stronger, and he started running. And eventually, he became the fastest man on earth. Whatever's been your biggest disability, your biggest setback, your biggest disappointment, could be the very point of your greatest success. It could be the motivator that says, you know what? Even though I broke down last year, even though I got drowned in that thing last year, I am going to rise out of this, and I am going to do better than I ever have before in Jesus' mighty name. And it doesn't matter what people have named you, called you, put you down with. Your father might have said something. Your mother might have said something. Your kids might have said something to you as parents. Your teachers might have said something. Your boss might have said something to you. You might have even been attacked by fellow believers and at some unfortunate incident or some uncomfortable time. Albert Einstein's teachers called him a slow learner. They even called him retarded. They wrote him off as unable to be educated. Brightest man, one of the brightest minds in all of history. But other people couldn't see it. And people can't see the potential that's on the inside of you, and sometimes will misunderstand the way that you are approaching life. But I'm telling you here and now, God has a divine plan and purpose for your life that he will work with you until he completes it. What he has begun in you, he will perfect it. He will complete it. And there's a plan for you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your family, you and your entire group around you, your connect groups. All of that, God is moving towards building a massive, mighty church in the city of Sydney. This city needs saving, people. And God is of raising up churches and men and women who will bring salvation to this city. And I believe it will not just be Pentecostal churches. It will be Presbyterian churches, Uniting churches, Wesleyan churches, Baptist churches. The entire Church of Jesus Christ all around the world is going to rise in this hour. And we will see a massive move of God that will unite us and bind us, our hearts together, so that we are united by the one person, Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I over time, or have I got 2 minutes left? I'm colorblind. I can't tell. Psalm 27, verse 13. My wife was stealing this scripture from me earlier on. Not really. I'm joking around. Psalm 27, verse 13. When Paul says, we shall reap in due season if we faint not, there's a lot of reasons why we do faint. And it's such a delicious feeling to go there, right? Oh, it's like a warm blanket, that depressing, like, oh, poor me. And if somebody else gives you sympathy, oh, it just adds to the chocolate emotion. But you want to know that you've got a spirit on the inside of you that aches to rise. Sympathy ain't going to help you. Empathy will, but just getting sympathy, it's not going to bring healing or strength. I would have lost heart. I would have fainted and not reaped my harvest unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just, oh, I can't wait for heaven. Oh, when we're gonna. Right here, right now in 2025, I'm believing I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right across the city, right across our churches. I am personally believing that. I am switching it on, even though sometimes my faith struggles to get up there and say, come on. Because Chris and I have faced plenty of disappointments, plenty of discouragements over all kinds of areas over the years. We've been pastoring for 52 years. You can't do that without getting hit, broken, beaten, bruised, something. There's got to be an attitude inside of you, I'm getting up again. Because I've got the resurrection and life on the inside of me. Jesus inside of me is the best predictor that I'm going to get out of this, get through this, and get on top of this thing in Jesus' name. All I've got to do is actually set my will in the right direction. And he says, I'm going to believe that I'll see it in the land of the living. So he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. Hey, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The longer you wait, the stronger you get. And this isn't waiting while you're watching tennis. This isn't waiting with distractions. Wait with a physical Bible if you need a Bible while you're waiting. If you bring out your digital Bible, a notification will come through. And before you know it, you're doom scrolling. You're just, And your attention span's gone down to 3 seconds, less than a goldfish. They have 9. The human length of attention these days is about 9 seconds. It used to be 12. But you know when you're talking to a person and you get to that 9-second point and their eyes glaze over and they go, hey, oh. And sometimes you're the one talking and you go, you lose track of where you are. What am I talking about? We live in a very distracted world. But if you get focused and you wait on the Lord with focus, you find strength start flowing into your soul. You start standing up on the inside and you say, I can beat this thing. Because that's where your faith comes from. It's not just a matter of saying, I'm going to be more positive about my life. No, you got to get it from somewhere. And when the weak wait on the strong, they get strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that is why this psalmist says to his own soul, wait, wait on the Lord. Come on, stop mucking around. Stop mucking around watching this and doing that and being busy with this. You could spend the rest of your life being busy, and wishing, thinking, I'm going to do it one day. I'm going to do it one day. And you're gone. You got to actually make the choice. I'm going to do it. And as you do it, you'll maximize your potential. You'll appropriate all the promises of God to you. You'll move into a future that you couldn't believe would ever happen without His presence on your life. And all the skills that you are aching to release and have in your world, they become amplified when the presence of God gets in you. And if you were to just make a commitment, a resolution at the start of this year, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to spend 5, 10, 15 minutes. If you've never done it before, say, I'm going to spend 10 minutes. Of undistracted, focused attention. I'm going to go into the wardrobe. I have done that to get away from distractions. It's amazing how distracted you can get. But that's what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. So try it. Go into your wardrobe. Shut the door. You'll see all those clothes that you should throw out too. The shoes, yeah. I'm not actually, they must have had very big closets. But he is saying, get into an undistracted place. Because as you wait there, after 2 minutes, you go, you're praying in tongues, just praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. And then you go, whoa, Lord, Lord. That's you, Lord, 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 Lord. Then you go, God, God, God. That's it. You do that every day, you get oil in your system. You get power on your life. Wisdom comes to your mind. I know what I'll do there. You walk slowly, You're not rushed. You're not in the spirit of the world. You're separated into the presence of God. Your attitude has calmed down. Your mind was overheating, it's cool. Your heart, which was cold, is on fire. Just from the presence of the Lord, we will reap our harvest if we faint not. We don't faint because we're in the presence of the Lord, and we find an eternal strength that's infinite, immortal, undying, everlasting. In Jesus' name. Presence of the Lord is in this room. You know that. I can feel Him. We can do that for ourselves every day.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.